If you would turn in your Bibles to John chapter 14. It's just to the right of Deuteronomy. And as soon as I get my glasses on, I'll know where I am. We're beginning with verse 21. And if you'd please stand. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself in him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us, but not to the world? Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my word, and my word that you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I'm still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to you remembrance of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Sela, would you? Thank you. I'm not quite used to having it this early, but if we could have the kids come forward. If we have any kids that want to come forward. Don't laugh. It took a lot to get this guy buttoned up in this. That's one patient squirrel. We got all kinds of new faces here. Would you like to come up too? Okay, we won't pick on you though, I promise. You know, none of you have heard even the beginning of why this guy is in armor, have you? Why would you wear armor? But see, they can't hurt you, can they? Yeah. Who's the bad guy? The bad guy's Satan, right? So he can swing all he wants, and when you're wearing God's armor, he can't hurt you. Well, there was three squirrels, baby squirrels, that were tasked by their colony to go out and gather food for their colony for the upcoming winter. And they were told where to go and what to gather. But they did like a lot of us do, and they didn't listen. And they were told not to go into the rosebush forest. Have any of you ever been around rosebushes? They got the long thorns and they stick you and they'll cut you if you're not careful. They went out there and they got hung up. One of them did. One by the name of Buzz got hung up in those rosebushes. He couldn't get out. The leader, the one who's really gives a lot of thought to things, Bart, wasn't sure what to do, but he and Bert went running back to the colony, and they had to confess what they'd done wrong. They disobeyed, and they went into the rosebush forest. Then the head guy in the colony, he's called the oldest, because he, in theory, has the most knowledge. So he told them how wrong they were, and they admitted that they were wrong, and then they'd have to go out into battle. And he said, what I want you to do is I want you to wear the Father's armor. And that's what this is. See, the Father's armor made it so they could go into that forest carrying the weapons they needed to free Buzz. Well, Bart went in there, and Bert was supposed to be behind him to keep him safe, but he ran away. He got scared. So Oldest went in and he helped Bart. Well, Oldest didn't make it. One of the rose bushes got him really bad, cut him really bad. And it was really sad, and the oldest died. Buzz had to be taken to the hospital because he was cut pretty badly too. And that's where we are now. Now, Bart, remember, he's the leader. He's the one that you see up there wearing the armor right now. He was told by another, even younger one, that Bert had run out of the colony. Now, all around the redwood forest where the colony is what they call the burned ground. There's nothing there. So that means when these little guys run out, great big birds or coyotes or even snakes up from the ground come out, they'll take them away, won't they? They'll eat them because that's what happens. So they were never allowed to go out there. But Bert went out. So now we have Bart with a broken heart because, number one, the oldest died and he had to attend the oldest's memorial service. They've now got a new leader. They call him for the next year. They'll call him the new oldest. Can you figure that one out? So they are trying to figure out what to do, and Bart figured he'd better go and talk to Buzz because Buzz was making it. And he went into the hospital and went into Buzz's room, and there was no Buzz. The bed was made, and the hospital was clean. And he thought Buzz had died, and the nurse came in, and he said, Where's Buzz? He was fine just a minute ago. And the nurse said, Oh, I'm sorry. He's gone. Buzz burst into tears. And then the nurse said, No, he's gone home. He's not dead. He's fine. And with a sigh of relief, he went tearing out of there and went over to Buzz's home where they talked. And it finally got around to what they were going to do about Bert. Buzz didn't know. And Bart didn't know, because the last time they tried to do something on their own, they got stuck in the forest, and that's how all of this mess started. So they figured, well, we'll go to the new oldest, and he can tell us what to do. So they went over to the new oldest, and he said, What do you want of me? And Bart, who was the spokesman, because he gave great thought to everything, said, We need to know what to do. What do we do about our friend? He's missing. And the oldest said, Yes, he's missing. This is something that the three of you did. This was your error. And you confessed your error. But we still need to rescue this young man. What do you feel you should do? And both Bart and Buzz said, Last time we did what we feel like we should do, we made a mess of things. What do you think we should do? And oldest replied, I don't think that I should answer that. What is the Father? What is God? What does the Father say that you should do? Well, we really hadn't asked him. We kind of figured you could do that for us. Do you ever ask somebody to pray for you? That's okay, isn't it? I think it is. I think it's a good thing. But you got to remember that you can pray to God too, and he'll take care of you. So then oldest bowed his head and closed his eyes, and Buzz turned over to Bart, kind of bumped him like that. He said, Bart, is he asleep? And oldest raised his head and opened his eyes, and he said, Every journey and every step on the journey always begins with the first prayer. And they prayed. And Bart and Buzz packed their duffel bags. It's kind of like a suitcase. They packed their duffel bags, everything that they would need. And then they had to walk out over the burned ground. They were scared. But who goes with you and who is with you? We just kind of sang about it. God, yeah. And God is with us in the name of the Holy Spirit. He's actually inside you. So ask God and he will help you have the strength. And strength, in this case, we mean the courage. So you don't have to be afraid. So next time we're going to find out if they find Bert. We'll find out what Bert has been doing. And we pray they'll find him alive. And then, even rougher, they got to come back from where they were, way over here. And they got to cross through the burned ground where it's unsafe to get back into the colony. So let's see how they rely on God. Let's see how they rely on each other relying on God. Okay? Now, if you guys go clear back to the back, I think there might be something back there for you. Spirit's willing, but the back is weak. Now, somebody maybe can tell me what that first slide meant, doors, drawers, and cubbies, but I think we're going to find out as we go along. Ezekiel 36, beginning with verse 25, says, I will sprinkle clean water on you. You shall be clean from all your uncleanness, and from all your idols I will cleanse you. And I will give you a new heart and a new spirit. And a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. Let's break that one down just a little bit more, because it's easy to kind of mishear a little bit. Just that last verse, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. It's, I will cause you to walk in my statutes and I will cause you to be careful to obey my rules. This is the help we get from the Holy Spirit. If you're going to rely on the Holy Spirit, if you choose not to, good luck, folks, because it's not going to work. Selah, could I have the next one? I stand at the door and knock. Now, I heard his voice for the first time. I'd like to say 30-ish, but that puts it from 25 to 45. In my early 30s, I heard his voice. And it was a radio commentator that gave me the words to say. And I said, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. So, wow! That's exactly what I felt, God. I said the words, and I was in my car, which was where I normally was. Crossed my hands, waited. And I waited. And I waited. Nothing happened. So what I figured, I was a computer engineer and a bunch of other stuff at the time. And I figured, well, this is pretty simple to understand. I just need to go to bed, get rebooted, and then in the morning, there'll be a change. So I went to bed, woke up the next morning, and looked around, and nothing had changed. So I kind of figured that maybe God just didn't listen to the really raunchy people until after they'd asked a few times. Over the next about 45 days, I asked, and nothing changed. Dietrich Bonhoeffer and Martin Luther both call that cheap grace. There's no cost. You don't have to be discipled. You don't have to give up any of your old ways. You still wear the same old clothing, so to speak. You don't change a thing. I think today, because of who we are in our society, we'd be better off to call it Burger King theology. It's cheap, it's fast, and you can have it your way. But you got to remember something. Just as the burger patties, so will the person that holds to this be flame broiled. Think about it. It isn't evangelism. And that's not what this is about. It's the Holy Spirit that works within us to bring us to God. What you have to do is let your light shine before men. You make disciples. He tells us to go and baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But there's one other little thing he does tell us to do, and that's to teach. Oh, boy, I just heard that. I don't know whether any of you heard it. But there was somebody out there who said, oh, that's not my gift. I'm not gifted to teach. Yeah, you are. We all are. By what you do every day. If you're holding to Christ, he's with you. I knew this wasn't doing it. I knew that I wasn't making the changes I needed to make. So I said, God, what do you want me to do? I've said the magic words and nothing's happened. What do I have to do? And he said, give me your heart. That put a stop to me right there. He said, God, nobody gets in there. I've got that thing locked up tight. Nobody gets in there. He said, give me your heart. God, I would do that, but it's going to look like a hoarder's living room. It's a mess, God. I just, you don't know what you're asking. Plus, he told us that he'd give us a heart of flesh, take away our heart of stone, that he would create in us a new heart, renew a right spirit within us. God, why do I have to do this? And he said it again, give me your heart. So I said, okay, God, see you. You do not need to seek him here or there. He's no further off than the door of your heart. He stands lingering, waiting for whoever is ready to open and let him in. You do not need to call to him in the distance. You don't need to holler. He's waiting much more impatiently than you for you to open to him. He's longing for you 1,000 times more urgently than you are for him. It's instantaneous. The opening and the entering. Selah. Hey, I don't know how I happened to find this, but that's a pretty good representation of my heart. You got 11 bolts that surround it. They go into solid steel. You can take a cutting torch to it. It's not going to make any difference. You can add C4 all the way around it. It's not going to make any difference. And if you look way, way back in the background, you can see that it's all darkness. And when you close the door, it's even more darkness. And that's what my heart was. Thank you. Now you got to share it. Solid darkness. But I opened it. And I left it open. And there were some changes that started to come about. In the first month, I went to church more times than I'd ever been in my life. I actually found a pretty darn good church, and I was enjoying it. I read the Bible. I'm not saying I understood it, but I read the Bible. The people that I met there, wow, they really amazed me. I mean, they had it together. They knew all the verses. They knew all of this. I was just really impressed. And the works, the things that they were doing within that body were pretty cool. But I began to watch and I began to look. And the same amount of hurt, the same amount of everything else that was going on out there was going on in there. And I realized that I'd taken off the uniform, the dressings, the clothing of the world, and I put on this thing called religiosity, for lack of a better word. There was no change going on in here. So once again, I went to the Lord and I said, God, please, I feel like I'm splashing in the kiddie pool. Please, let me get out of here. Take me deeper. Show me how to go there. Say, look. Give me your heart, and he took me to the back. And you notice there's locks on every drawer because I wasn't going to let him in those. Those, I said to him, are my identities. This is what I worked my whole life for. You know, I was in pretty high management in electronics industry. I was an engineer, and I was a family man. I had kids. I had a wife. Look at all of this that I've done, Lord. This is my identity. And yeah, there's a few things in there I really don't like, God. You could take those. Now, before I go any further, because I'm now going to get in, I'm going to get into the next about dozen years, and they're not real pretty. I want you to understand that we have things happen to us. Tragedies, loss, grief, all of this happens to us. This isn't God's way of punishing us. He offers us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's known as the Comforter, the Helper, the Advocate. There's, I think, 17 or 18 more names that identify the Holy Spirit on how he is a help to us. I told the Lord that he could have access, but I'll tell you what, it was the shakiest time in my life. I actually went to my pastor and I said, "Pastor, I don't know what's happening, but I feel like I'm at the edge of a cliff and there's nothing but darkness below me. I'd like to go around because I'm scared." Now, this was not a Pentecostal church. He didn't say, "Oh, well, this is one of the gifts and maybe you have the gift of prophecy." What he said was exactly what he should have said. "I don't know." He couldn't tell me what to do, so I went back to God, and God's answer was the same. "Give me your heart." Okay. Took the step. About a week later, my life literally ended. There was a tragedy within my home to my oldest child that pretty well destroyed all of us for a good long period of time. And I wandered around and I did the consoling stuff and the platitudes that we usually speak. And they were totally, totally meaningless. And as I walked around, everybody had left. And as I walked around, I noticed in my hand I had this book. Okay. Well, I may as well read it. So I sat down and I wasn't sure where to read. And I was led to read. Now, who leads you? The Holy Spirit. I was led to read Psalms. Now, I don't know whether it was 24 hours. I don't know if it was 48. I don't know if it was 72. I do know that I did not move from the chair. I didn't take a drink of water. I didn't eat a bite of food. I read Psalms. By the time I was done with this, by the time the Holy Spirit was done with me, I had this peace come down upon me like I have never felt in my life. I mean, I've been anxiety ridden my whole life. I worry a lot. I worry as a hobby. But there was this peace. And at that point, through this peace, I was able to go and actually minister to my daughter. I was able to minister to my kids, my sons. It was phenomenal. And we started to recover. Not too long after that, the electronics industry did what the electronics industry does every so often, and it took a dump. And the company that I was so proud of, I had to close its doors. Financiers pulled their funds. I couldn't make it on my own, and we closed. Now, I had my kids in a phenomenal Christian school that I didn't want to take them out of. So I decided I'd do something. So I went down and asked if I could do janitorial to keep my kids in there. First thing I learned, you don't wear a three-piece suit if you're going to clean toilets. It just doesn't work. But I did learn that. And then I got a job which at the time I considered menial. Boy, doesn't that sound snobbish and snotty? It's a menial job. And finally, the Lord made me realize that What I do doesn't make me who I am. Who I am makes me what I do. Now, if you think about that, don't ever say that to a non-Christian, because that's going to hurt them deep and it's going to scare them worse. Because it is a fact who you are. If you're a Christian, if you're following Christ, you're going to be Christ-like. That's what happens. If you're not following Christ, I'm not going to go there right now. So, it wasn't too long after that that, you know, everything started to really go smooth. Not. Things fell out of my Bible. What's even worse is all of a sudden he stuck me in a position in a new department, organization, agency. And I had no clue on how to do this job. I mean, I was over here and these guys were over there. How do we deal with this? And I said, Lord, I can't possibly do this job. He said, take the job. And I said, Lord, I can't do this job. He said, take the job. I said, Lord, I can't do this. But take the job. So I took the job, and he stood beside me every second of the way. I mean, I went from computers and engineering, going as fast as I wanted down the highway, doing whatever I wanted, and over here on this law enforcement stuff. I'd always been on the other side. So he took me through that. And because of him, all the way because of him, I was successful. So I'm rolling along just fine for a few months. And I went up to visit my folks, and I noticed that there was something that just wasn't fitting right. So I convinced them they needed to go to the doctors. And they were both diagnosed with Alzheimer's. Now, I had ridden through that with my mom, with my grandmother, and I knew what was to be expected. I knew for the immediate future that they'd be able to do okay by themselves. But I knew I'd have to make some major adjustments in the future. But the Holy Spirit came and made me realize that he's in control and he will give me whatever I need. Got home, and shortly after that, my middle child turned up missing. Turned out he had been coerced by a biological brother. My kids were adopted, and the biological brother had some very serious problems. And he taught the boy how to steal, how to commit arson, how to live on the street, all of these neat things, how to do drugs. Eventually, the brother would also convince the sister, who was also in foster care, that she needed to leave too. And they ran away, all three of them. He committed suicide at that point. She tried. And their lives just went straight downhill. Parents are still falling down. The marriage wasn't the strongest thing in the world. But the Lord still reassured me that he was with me and that I wasn't to worry, that he was in control no matter what. My opinion of myself at that point, I had two kids with problems, and my company and all had gone straight down. All of these neat little identities that I held on to. This is who I am. This is who I'm not. But that's okay. Went up to take care of my folks. And I'm sorry, but this one still hits me with humor. Went up to take care of my folks, and I came back home. Opened the door, and the dog's sitting there. And the dog's sitting there, and the dog's sitting there, and there is absolutely nothing else in the house. She'd left the paint on the walls, but what got me the most and what just literally cracked me up was, you know, when you come back from a drive, and my folks lived in a little town called Paradise that's been on the news much. When you come back from a fairly long drive, first thing you want to do is use the facilities, the bathroom. And I walked in there, no light bulbs, no toilet paper. I mean, even to the point where there was just, you know, like quarter inch left on the roll, she took them. And I just started laughing. Now, some people tell me that's a defense. Maybe it is, but it sure is a fun one. Because it's a lot more fun to laugh than to cry. And I went into the place I worked for, and I was still laughing that following morning and relayed that to a couple of the friends, and they laughed along with me. And within 2 weeks, the agency had put out the word, and I had more furniture. I had more kitchen stuff than towels and linen and beds and couches and all the rest of that stuff than I had in the beginning. The house is actually getting crowded. God taught me that, number one, I am not my possessions. I lost all that stuff. Whoop-de-doo. But he also taught me that there are people out there who actually care. This was new to me. This was really new to me. Oh, wow. That's pretty cool. The other thing about the ex leaving was that about that time my folks started to get worse. So I moved them in with me. My dad died about 3 months later, and the Lord taught me grief 101, the bare basics of it. And my mom started to go deeper into Alzheimer's. It hurt. It hurt deeply. And, you know, you'd walk in and she didn't know whether I was her. Sometimes I was her brother. Sometimes I was her dad. I was never her son anymore. But then I began to realize, so what? It doesn't make any difference who I am. Because when I went in there, if I was her brother, that was just a time for her to remember things that she did at that moment 60 years ago with her brother. If I was her dad, which she loved very much, that was a time for her to share that love again with her dad. So what difference does it make? And I found this humongous joy. I can't tell you how big the joy was. I knew what was coming down, but now I could walk that road with her and I could hold her hand and we could make it through it. Now they're living with me, and there was a, I shouldn't call him elderly because he'll probably get up out of the grave and beat the tar out of me, but he was elderly and he was the closest thing to a real dad I ever had. I mean, this guy actually loved me. Go figure. But we had a ball. And he passed. God took me through grief 101 and then 102. I didn't know how to deal with it. It left this hole. But he taught me to remember the love and remember the good times, to remember the joy, to still hurt, to still grieve, but to grow from that. Somehow or another, with the help of the Holy Spirit, manage that. Shortly after that, my youngest got trouble at school. He was with his mother. And I don't mean trouble. I mean trouble. He was expelled. Well, he couldn't go to school where she lived, so she packed him up, and that same day he was in my place. And he had by that time gotten pretty unmanageable. And he got in some extremely serious, serious trouble. He and a few other friends had injured another kid for no reason, and he was sentenced to 5 years in conservation corps. Now that is kind of juvenile hall without the walls. So he was incarcerated for those 5 years, and I was angry. I was probably more angry than I'd ever been. I was hurt, and boy, was I ever shamed. And I talked to God about it. And I talked to God about it. And I talked to God about it. And finally the Holy Spirit came in. But the Holy Spirit didn't come in as comforter for me. The Holy Spirit didn't come in as helper for me. The Holy Spirit came in as advocate, not for me, but for this son. Because as I had been forgiven, I had to learn how to forgive. Ah, something else new. You mean I can't bear a grudge? I can't carry this along with me? No. I had to release it. Not long after that, my mom passed. It was a time of grief. I would say 101, 102, and 103. Felt a little bit worse than that because my mom and I were pretty close. Actually, we were real close. But the Holy Spirit came in again as comforter and helper and helped me through this. Not long after that, I walked into work and there was somebody sitting over here that I'd never seen. She looked pretty interesting. I was not a lech, by the way. But she was somebody that I was definitely interested in. So I worked up my courage and I asked her out. Now, you got to understand, my working up courage, it took me 6 weeks. But I got there and I asked her out. And we went to a fairly decent restaurant and she had this cross thingy hanging from her. And I had already been burned 100,000 times with people that said they were Christians. And I said, yeah. So is that a decoration or does it mean something to you? She then told me how much, not just what this particular item meant to her, but what Christ meant to her. I wasn't put off. I believed her. Matter of fact, I believed her well enough that probably month and a half later, we got married. That's exactly what happened. Short while later, my new partner, my helper, the one who I could lean on, and my wife, we leaned together, but she had to come and tell me that the middle boy who had been coerced by this older brother had also taken his life. But talk about a difference, because between the two of us, now, the two of us with the Holy Spirit, you can't knock that down. And we withstood it. I'd like to tell you now that that was the end of it. Nothing ever bad again happened. However, number one, I could never lie in church. And number two, I'm not made that way anyway. We had other things happen. We had some, as a lot of you folks in here know, we had some tragedies. We've had some sorrow. But the Holy Spirit's been with us. But now more than ever, I knew I needed more of God. See? If you've never read her book, Mary Wilder Tylston, Joy and Strength, you won't find it in a Christian bookstore. If you go to it's got to be found in the major bookstores under Gems and Minerals, because there's so many gems in this book that it's far beyond anything I've read. God always fills in all the hearts, all the room which is left in there. What do you have inside you? I mean, we're talking about my story. No, this is all of our stories. What's inside you that's keeping the Holy Spirit back? So I asked God, and he said, you've heard it before. Give me your heart. This is what I call my cubby. Got all these nice little things in it. And I said, God, now, I know you found this way back in the back of that thing I call my heart. But busyness, when have I ever been too busy for you? when I hurried through reading scripture because I had to get to a Bible study. Talk about oxymoron. It's just dumb. When I was too busy to go to church. When I was too busy to call a friend. When I was too busy to touch another one of my brothers or sisters. Because, you know, I was in a hurry. He brought that one home really plainly. I'm not going to go through all of these because we could be here months and months. Guilt, we already know what that does. I looked at anger and I said, God, I know I've got a problem with anger. He said, no, let's take it down a little bit. And he took me to resentments. He said, what about these? And I said, well, yeah, I've got resentments. And he says, you know, the resentments are the sparks that lay at the base of anger. And they start the fire that burns, that creates the anger. And when that fuel is all consumed, all you have left is the ashes of despair and of, well, bitterness and a bunch of sterile ground. We talked about habits. And habits aren't necessarily sticking a needle in your arm or going to the liquor cabinet and getting a drink. Habits can be anything. Are they standing in the way of God? Hypocrisy? No, God. How could he call me a hypocrite? Except when I looked back and he was stripping away all of my who I was, is my identities. Oh, boy. All right. Open your Bibles to Isaiah. It would be 26. Starting with verse 13. O Lord our God, other lords besides you have ruled over us. Does that sound familiar? But your name alone we bring to remembrance. They are dead, they will not live. They are shades, they will not arise. To that end, you had visited them with destruction and wiped out all remembrance of them. Don't close your Bibles, but think about that. Memories. Now, some memories are good. God tells us to remember. Remember the good things. Remember, I've got to remember those 12 years. But do I live in those memories or do I let them go? Do you remember an abusive parent? And has that created within you a conditioned reaction? You know, that's when you walk out the door every time and somebody smacks you upside the head. So then eventually whenever you walk out any door, you do this. That's a conditioned reaction. Those memories aren't good. But we resurrect them when we go back to them. We don't have to resurrect them. Let them go. Hold on to the good memories. Hold on to the memories, like I will, of my folks or of my mom, of my kids, of the good times. Hold on to those. The rest of them, toss out. Don't close your Bibles yet, because we're going to go back in that same neighborhood. Grief. We're going to go through seasons of grief, and grief is good. It's a healing process. But to live in grief, you begin to decay. And you begin to get bitter. The apathy I was going to look up, but you know, why bother? I won't even go to that one. Envy and greed, we don't need to go there. But all along the bottom, self. Now, God, why is there four for self in there? What is this? You realize that every one of those up there, every one of them, emanate from self. That's where we've got to start our work. That's where we've got to start digging, is it self? One of the best ways, I told you we were going back to that same neighborhood, Isaiah 26, this time, Go up one verse, verse 12. I love this verse, but I love it in the NIV and the New King James the best. Lord, you have established peace for us. God gives us the peace. We don't. Lord, you've established peace for us. And the biggie? All that we have accomplished, you have done for us. All that we've accomplished, the good stuff. This stuff up here, yeah. Yeah, that's the world. That's the flesh. But the good stuff, God is doing for us. If we can knock out the base layer, there's going to be a whole lot of the good layer. Now, some of you are probably saying to yourself, boy, that guy's really messed up. Look at all those things. I got a cubby for you. I got one just for you if you don't feel that any of this applies to you. Selah, it's just a little bit larger because it's what we don't see that's going to nail us. Selah? A.B. Simpson writes, Jesus has left us the same power in which he possessed. Think about that. Jesus raised the dead. Jesus healed the sick. He's given us the same power. He's bequeathed to the church the very Holy Spirit that lived and worked within him. Let us accept this mighty gift. Let us believe in him and his all-sufficiency. Let us receive him. And the last part, and give him room. What you hold on to out of the world is going to block the Holy Spirit. I can attest to that. I can swear to you that that's true. Okay, Selah. Everybody in here is demonstrated. I'm not going to say everybody in here has got gifts because we hear that. Everybody in here demonstrates gifts. I get to see so much of what so many of you do. Little caring things that you don't think other people see, but God has his spies. I'm one of them. And I praise God for every one of you. Let his light shine through you. And it doesn't make any difference what you're doing. Let his light shine through you. I'm going to end this with a prayer that's not my own. It's from Paul in his letter to the Ephesians. And I think I've got it in the ESV here. I better have or else I'm in deep trouble. Oh, well, I'm in deep trouble. Ephesians 3. You know, it's really hard to find things in a new Bible. Yeah, I should use mine. Let's start at verse 14. And this is my prayer for you and for me. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you the strength with the power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have the strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Amen. Heavenly Father, I am going to do one more prayer, and that's that we would all see the actions of your Spirit in this body, that we would all be a part. Open us, Lord, as only you can do. Help us to give you our whole heart. Help us to give you our lives, our identities, that we might be identified with Christ. Help us to drop the other stuff, especially self. that we might be fully yours. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.